to start the Monday program, but that's not enough. In fact, I've got a lot more for you, starting with this guy, a senior NFL reporter for Yahoo, co-host of the Yahoo Sports NFL podcast. Good friend of the program, he is Charles Robinson. Charles, what's up? How are you?
What's up, brother? How you doing on Monday?
Good, good, man. How about you?
I'm doing well. We're heading into week 16. This is it. Home stretch, baby.
This is it. All right, so a lot of different spots where I could start, but why don't we start with the Dallas Cowboys, and before we even talk about the game, what did you make of the coin toss?
Well, I don't let Dak Prescott do any more coin tosses. I realized, look, the guy said kick, 27 times, and Walt Anderson's sitting there like, I know what he's trying to get. It's like the Jeopardy contestant who answers a question, but not in the form of a question. And right. Alex Trebek's like, are you an idiot? We've only done this for how many decades? I have no idea why Dak Prescott, he was clearly trying to defer. He just couldn't get the words out. But I think they made the right decision. He did say we want to defer to the second half before Walt Anderson officially made the decision, announced it to I guess the world, and then the NFL did the right thing stepping in at halftime and correcting it, because everybody knew what Dak Prescott was trying to say when you listen to the audio.
All right, so I didn't exactly see that coming, but then again, I did not see Dallas putting up 44 on the Rams either. Jason Garrett had put together a highlight reel earlier in the week and then reportedly gave a really good speech on Saturday. So if you had to guess, how do you think Jerry Jones is feeling about Garrett right now after that win?
I mean, look, hopefully it's one win. I realize now finally they've beaten a team that was over 500. Now you're 1-6. Congratulations on the season in seven games against, teams that have a winning record. But look, at the end of the day, the Rams are a team that they've been up and down all season long. They're struggling. They had a great game last week, but obviously Vegas coming into this one, Vegas put the line pretty close. And to me, that suggested that, Vegas has always got the sauce. They know what's going on. And the Rams offensive line's terrible. It looked horrible against the Cowboys. Todd Gurley couldn't get anything done. And I continue to believe that the Rams are just a team. If you can shut down Todd Gurley, put everything on Jared Goff, there are going to be mistakes made. I think the Cowboys expose that. But to me, look, we'll see. I don't think Jerry Jones can't make any decisions off of this. If anything, I hope he looked at the film and says, hey, look how good we are when we have a balanced offense. Dak's not throwing it 50 times, and we can run the football. And, hey, maybe get Tony Pollard on the field as well in the backfield. Dallas did some things balance-wise that I think were good, but look, I'm not buying the farm based on one win. Garrett's done far too little this season to all of a sudden change your mind based on one win over a team that's been struggling.
Charles Robinson is my guest. All right, so you mentioned Dak. You and I have talked about Prescott and his contract going back to the offseason. You've got a piece on Yahoo right now about the entire situation. Where do things stand with a Prescott contract?
Well, he's getting the franchise tag. I mean, the Cowboys have known it for months. I had a chance to speak to someone there, and they flat out said, look, we haven't talked to these guys in months. We haven't had a fruitful exchange really since the very beginning of the season in terms of actual, financial figures. And then as the beginning of the season started to move forward and Dak got off to a hot start, his extension price went up. And, they're arguing over years. They're arguing over total money. I mean, it really is just a mess. And I think it got to the point with Dak Prescott's camp where they said, look, just bet on yourself. They're going to franchise tag you this offseason. And the leverage only moves in your favor every single month or year after this. If you can have the kind of season, where you flourish and you put up career numbers, this is only going to get better for you. That's exactly what Dak Prescott has done. I would not put the overall record on him. I think he has taken another step up. And to me, look, the Cowboys are either going to pay through the nose this offseason for the extension they want, or they're going to franchise them the next 2 years and then have to deal with it.
We're talking to Charles Robinson. All right, so let me get your thoughts on Urban Meyer, who was in Washington for the Eagles game. People are going to read that as a sign that he wants that job and maybe right. wants to spark some interest from the Cowboys as well. What do you make of the entire situation involving Meyer?
I think it's interesting that Terry McLaurin came out and said, Urban Meyer was my guest. This didn't have anything to do with, visiting the team or my coaching status. Somebody's lying, okay? Because I'm going to tell you straight up, about the middle of last week, heading into the weekend, there was definitely indications from Urban Meyer's camp that there might be interest from the Washington Redskins in him for their job opening. Now, to me, when I heard that, I thought that's not really – it shouldn't be a surprise to anyone. Anyone who has an opening, Urban Meyer, if you have a list of 10 coaches, Urban Meyer should probably be on it. You should have a conversation about that guy. you'd probably pick up the phone and even talk to him. You know, so the fact that he shows up, whether he was Terry McLaurin's guest or not, if Urban Meyer is trying to, you know, indicate that, hey, I'm not trying to leverage the Cowboys, I'm not trying to drum up any kind of interest in myself, I don't believe that. I just don't believe that. Like, he can say he's playing chess, whatever. I think that's just a lie. I think Urban Meyer is very interested in the NFL. I think he's extremely interested in the Dallas Cowboys, as he said publicly. And, you know, I do think him schmoozing with the Redskins, whether or not he was Terry McLaurin's guest or not, only sends, you know, a signal to the Dallas Cowboys that, hey, if there is some interest here, you better move on it, because I'm going to shop myself around to other NFL teams.
Yeah, by the way, I could not agree with that any more than I do. There's no way that he was just there at the behest of a former player or two. There's no way he was just doing something for somebody else. I mean, come on. We're talking about Herb here. All right, so we're talking also about the video that the Patriots shot on the Bengals sideline. You've got a piece up on Yahoo right now about the video and how the league is going to handle it. First off, what do you make of what you saw and heard on that video?
It's bad. I mean, it's deliberate. It's as deliberate. Like, in my mind, you know, we had heard heading into this weekend how deliberate it was. Hey, they were filming the coaches. They were filming the players. They were filming the sideline. You can, you know, you make all that up in your mind and you think, okay, when we saw the limited images of Spygate 1, that's exactly what they were doing. But then when you see it again, you know, the camera's panning, it's zooming, it's moving back and forth, it's keeping the entire sideline framed after player substitutions and package substitutions. And then, look, the audio did not help. Hearing them so eager to delete the footage, whether, you know, if it was an honest mistake or not, clearly they knew at that point, oh, you know, we really screwed this up. It's just baseline. It's terrible for the Patriots. And am I willing to think that, hey, maybe this was just an astronomical mistake by someone in the video department? Yeah, we've got a video department. I know there are producers who sometimes make mistakes. I think that could happen. But here's the bottom line. Nobody in the NFL cares. They're like, look, you already did this once. It doesn't matter. It's the mistake you can't make. And then you made it. You got caught. There's audio. There's video. It's out here. This looks terrible. Now I think the NFL's got to figure out, how do we punish the Patriots in a way that placates everyone else, but also doesn't upset Robert Kraft to the point where he wants to go to war with us like he did on Deflategate.
I was going to say, that's my exact point. I mean, you've got a team that's got a history of this, but at the same time, we know Bob Kraft has got a history of punching back when the league looks to punish him. How do you think the league does approach this?
I think that's part of what's dragging on. When I was at the owners' meetings in Dallas last week, you know, I had a chance to talk to a league source. And I said, look, it's been, I think at that point, it'd been like 3 or 4 days. I said, you got the tape. You have the tape. You've already done interviews, and you have the confession of the Patriots that, yes, we did do this. What's dragging on? Why is there no announcement at these league meetings? And this source said to me, look, it's Bob Kraft. Like, that's why. It's Bob Kraft. We got to be careful with this because we don't want to trigger something with Bob Kraft. We're openly having war with the Patriots yet again. And look, Bob Kraft, make no mistake about it, he's been a handful. He's been a great owner business-wise. I mean, he's been a cornerstone. He's a deal broker. Top five owner, easily. I'm always told that's one of the guys you have to go to when you want to make deals in the NFL, no matter what it is. But at the same time, Deflategate, you had Spygate, you got Spygate now 2.0 or whatever you want to call it. You got the spa issue. You know, you've had a number of stories written historically about how the Patriots will do anything to get an edge. So he's definitely been a handful, you know, for the league. But he's also supported Roger Goodell when Jerry Jones came calling a couple years ago, going after Roger Goodell pretty hard in the paint with some lawyers. And you know, so I think that factors in, but they're going to have to find something. I don't know if it's the Atlanta Falcons punishment for pumping in crowd noise in 2016, $350K and a fifth round pick docked. You know, that's a healthy slap, not for a billionaire, but at least shows that the league's saying, we know this is wrong. You tried to do something to get an advantage, and we're going to punish you for it. I think it's got to be at least that's the floor. $350K, fifth round pick, that's the floor for what the league can do.
It's Bears Watching. Without saying, we'll see how that plays out. He is a senior NFL reporter for Yahoo. He is the co-host of the Yahoo Sports NFL podcast. And I'll say it again, good friend of the program. Charles, good job, man. Appreciate you.
Always my pleasure, Jim. Call me anytime.
You got it. I'll take you up on that. Well done. All right, so a lot of you Patriot fans are like, it's nothing. It's nothing. It's, if we're anybody other than us, it would be nothing. Right. If it were anybody other than you, it would be nothing. But it is you. And you've done it before, and you did it again, and you got caught. So it's not nothing. Absolutely, it's not nothing. It might be nothing to you, but it's not nothing to everybody else around the NFL, because just know this, every single team, every single owner is looking to see what the league is going to do. It's not nothing.